It is Thursday, time once again for another Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks so much for tuning in. And you can always be part of the conversation at 414-1234, our local number. Long distance is 800-926-8809. If email your preferred form of communication, it's perspectives@wfsu.org. And even though Twitter has gotten kind of a bad rap in modern news cycles here because of what some folks do with it, you can just jump on and send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective, and that is singular because we are such a singular show. Hey, we wanted to talk about something that always engenders a lot of discussion and interest every time we crack open these microphones to yak about it a bit, and that is the fact that Leon County and the city of Tallahassee have become synonymous over the years with trees, of all things. It is part of our official logos for the city and also the county. You see it in many kinds of commercial applications. We are just tree crazy in this area. Even when we go through something like a hurricane or Irma, and the trees sometimes become not so much our friends as our adversaries as they kind of come crashing down around us. But still, there has been a move to protect and conserve our leafy resources here for many, many years, going back, oh my gosh, into the early 1980s when the city and county first entertained the concept of a tree protection ordinance, which was downright revolutionary at the time. And in some ways continues to be so today. We have someone who knows a little bit about trees this morning, more than a little bit. She is Tabitha Frazier, Leon Soil and Water Conservation Supervisor, District 3, and also on the county's Canopy Road Citizens Advisory Committee and a whole host of other things, a longtime environmental advocate and all around good person. Tabitha, it's so good to see you.
You too, Tom. Thank you for having me.
And I wanted to also congratulate you on your win. I know that was a hard-fought battle there for water and soil conservation. And so many folks don't even know what the heck that is. So before we start, why don't we talk a little bit about the formal official position that you have?
I would love to. Yes, thank you. I'm always interested and curious to tell people about it because I am always a voter. And for years, I would see it on the ballot and wonder what this was, who were the supervisors and what did they do? Well, years later, someone told me about it. There was a step down on the Soil and Water Conservation District. So I decided to apply for it and look into it. Soil and Water Conservation Districts were actually started after the Dust Bowl. So they've been around for almost 100 years. And it was a means for local farmers and statesmen to be able to communicate with their Department of Agriculture about soil and water needs so we can prevent another Dust Bowl. Well, almost every single county in the entire United States, every state has soil and water conservation districts. But if you fast forward, we're not really so much of a country that does small-scale farming. We're a lot of industrial agriculture. So over the years, a lot of soil and water conservation districts didn't have their finger on the pulse of what's happening locally in their community. So anyway, when I researched, all soil and water conservation supervisors actually serve as volunteers. No one gets paid. It's a liaison type of position. But anyway, I applied for it because that's my actual educational background. I have my master's degree in environmental engineering, and I do a lot of volunteer work. So I thought it was something that I could maybe bring attention to and get it to be a nice functioning board that had people that were working towards it. And I think over the years it has led that way. And I'm grateful to be here today to tell you about the Leon Fruit and Nut Exchange, which is a program that is being brought to you by the Soil and Water Conservation District.
Well, before we get into the larger conversation about conservation and the other aspects of this, some other Florida jurisdictions have scrapped soil and water conservation districts.
They have. And you know, I can see that this is why it's important. I'm grateful to be talking about it because you do need qualified people. It is an unpaid position. You have to have people that are altruistic, that are willing to make something of it. Because it is an elected office, we meet once a month, but we cannot communicate with each other in between. We can have to do a 10 days notice for a meeting. So a lot of the other stuff that I do, I feel that soil and water, sometimes there's a lot of hoops that you have to go through. So I guess that can be a deterrent to some people. Plus, we have no staff. We have no office. So it is, you're pretty much on your own. And so, but when we get into the grant, I'll tell you, it's like a grant that I wrote. But, you know, I have a title. I can do it, being a soil and water conservation supervisor. So I guess a lot of people, I'm not sure, you have to be truly altruistic if we want to run for it. And so I'm sure in some counties, maybe people didn't run for it, or they just possibly had some duds and were wondering why we're continuing to have this. But in those counties where they did close, they can always open up another soil and water conservation district. All it takes is 20 landowners to actually petition the state, and they can get their district back. And so, and it's 20 landowners that say that they would like to have a soil and water conservation supervisor there. So,
well, I did not see, you learn something new every day. That is so cool. Well, you just mentioned the Leon County, the Fruit and Nut Exchange, and I know we are not perhaps as have as many fruit trees as a place like Indian River County or all that, but a very good friend of my wife's bequeaths to us on a regular basis the produce from her tree. She has a little like tangelo tree in the backyard, and it just goes crazy once a year. And we get half a bushel of tangelos, and we wind up turning most of it into juice. But I'm just wondering, and this maybe had occurred to you, and this is where the genesis of this came from. Do we waste a lot of fruit from trees in this area?
We do. I think this is the perfect time of year to see that example. It's hard to drive through any neighborhood, especially our older historic neighborhoods. Capital City Country Club, Benton, Lafayette Park, Waverly. These older established neighborhoods have a lot of orchard trees, whether it's grapefruit, tangelos. There's fig trees everywhere. And I, like you, I have neighbors. I also have fruit trees, and I can't keep up with it. I can't give enough of it away. And so the idea for the Fruit and Nut Exchange, how it came about is, as you know, I'm into trees. And so I also started leontrees.org. And so people would talk to me a lot about trees. Like, you should advocate Tabitha and have them plant fruit trees in Cascades Park. And you should advocate to have fruit trees planted in South City or Frenchtown and, you know, economically blighted areas to help people. And a lot of people talked about this because Portland, Oregon did a similar project in their large city park. They did a living fruit forest, and it was open for people to come and pick fruit and do that. So wonderful idea. Municipalities are doing that. Well, when people would come to me about it, I would internally, personally bristle because, like you, I have fruit trees, and I know a lot of people that have fruit trees, and they just can't give it away. So I wouldn't really think that we needed more fruit trees. So lo and behold, a few months after all this, people were talking about fruit trees. I Grow Tallahassee. I met Sundiata, one of the gentlemen that is running I Grow, and they actually do a mobile compost. They will come to your house and pick up your compost, bring it back to their farm, and mix it up as a way to make healthier soil. And they did a wonderful presentation to the Soil and Water Conservation Board about this. Well, during this presentation, when he got done, once I found out he was actually driving to people's homes, I said, "Drive to my house. Pick up some fruit. You run a farmer's market. I would just love to, you can just have it. You know, it's just rotting." And anyway, Sundiata thought it was a great idea, but it just kind of floated there. Well, last May, because I'm a soil and water conservation supervisor, I got an email from the National Association of Conservation Districts, and they were going to be giving out grants for urban agricultural initiatives. And so when I read the perspectives of what was required, they would also give higher priority to people that you had to be in a municipality. So you'd have a population over 150,000. Check. That we fit that box here in Tallahassee. And they also wanted people to have food deserts. And a food desert is considered an area where you do not have access to healthy food, meaning that there might not be a grocery store, or if there is a grocery store, it might just be a convenience store to where you don't have fresh produce. And Frenchtown is actually considered a food desert. And the Frenchtown Heritage Market that runs down there actually has, because it's a food desert, has a program with the Department of State, and their SNAP dollars go actually twice as far. And what that means, so you can go to the Frenchtown Heritage Market, and if you have, which is, if you aren't familiar, SNAP is the Supplemental Nutrition, I think, Access Plan.
Yeah, we used to call them food stamps.
Exactly. Yeah. So now it's like a credit card. But if you go down there and you want to buy $2 worth of fruit, you will actually get $4 worth of fruit. And so it's, you know, a way, and I think it's a wonderful program by the state of Florida, access to healthier food, giving it to people that might not have it in the radius. So make a long story short, when I got this grant, I decided to write together this idea to actually glean fruit, which is the term gleaning. It's actually an old word, a biblical term, which is harvesting fruit that otherwise would fall to the ground and go to waste. And so I got some partnering organizations, Tallahassee Food Network, City of Tallahassee, the Department of Agriculture, and Second Harvest of the Big Bend, and Leon Trees. We all partnered together, and I wrote this grant, and we were awarded it to bring the Fruit and Nut Exchange. And I'm grateful to be on here because there's been a lot of back work, and it is now open, and people can register their trees to be gleaned.
Oh, so in other words, when it comes harvest time, you don't have to just let the birds and the squirrels pick up the refuse from the yard. You actually can give you guys a call, and you'll come pick up the fruit, and then what happens to it?
Yeah, so, well, the way it works, we set it up to where it's actually an online registry. So we're encouraging everyone to go to the LeonFruitAndNutExchange.org, and there's a button on there. It says Get Involved, or you can also click Register a Tree. And on there, there's a form where you're going to fill out to actually register your tree. So you put your name, your address, and it'll ask you two questions. Are you going to be a self-harvester? Or do you need someone to help you glean? And what a self-harvester would be is we'd actually come to your house and bring you a crate for you to fill, and then just call us when it's ready and we'll come pick it up. If you need help with gleaning, we'll actually arrange for volunteers to come out to your property and pick the fruit.
And this is being done at no cost to the tree owner?
No cost at all. And so actually, if the tree owner does sign up, they get their fruit gleaned, and they also have access. They can participate. We're going to be Soil and Water Conservation District is working out with IFAS to do tree care workshops twice a year. So people can come, and they can learn about proper pruning, best fertilizer, soil health. And it was another way for us to connect. IFAS does a lot of community services. They will test your soil. They will look for fungicides. A lot of people in the community don't know about it. And so we figured this is another way for us to get the word out in the community what services are offered by the state and by our county that would help people with their soil and water.
They also have a great Master Gardener program because we have so much of a problem in this part of the country, as does most of Florida, with invasives.
Yes.
And
yes.
They will help you take care of that, too. And it reminds me, I got to give them a call back. I'm being attacked here by a Japanese climbing fern, and it's driving me crazy. Hey, we are talking about trees on WFSU-FM's Perspectives. Tabitha Fraser, who is a supervisor for District 3 of the Leon Soil and Water Conservation District, is here with us, and we invite your participation, 414-1234 or 800-926-8809. We'll be right back. Back on Perspectives for your Thursday morning. And a reminder, you can always find Perspectives online at WFSU.org. You just go to that address, click on radio, pull down the programs menu, click Perspectives, and up it pops. We archive past shows, try to have the latest program up within a few hours of when it actually airs. And also, Tabitha Fraser, we will have the direct links to the Leon Fruit and Nut Exchange and some of the other stuff we're talking about here today. So we can go right on there. We're talking about gleaning, and I have been trying to glean more information on who actually does the gleaning when you have a fruit or a nut tree. And they come and they get the stuff, but then they have to do something with it. And then what happens?
Yes. Well, the more people that sign up, the more fruit we'll have. So we're starting out. The fruit that is coming in now is actually all staying local. So we have an office set up and a refrigerator set up at the Frenchtown Heritage Hub, which is 524 North MLK, right downtown in Frenchtown. And so that is where the fruit is actually housed. And we're going to glean on Saturdays. And then on Sunday, there are several area local churches that run food banks. There's also a woman named Miss Barbara that is just a wonderful do-gooder, and you can go down any Tuesday on the corner of Orange Avenue and Meridian, and you will see a U-Haul, and there are hundreds of people waiting in line there. Starting this project, it's really been eye-opening of the food needs that we have here in Leon County, how many people actually do depend on food like this. And so one of our partners is, I've been talking with Maisha Mitchell, and she's on the Tallahassee Tallahassee Food Network, and she works extensively with different, like the Joe Louis Tenements Association, different groups like that. And she pointed out, she really has taught me a lot, that every Saturday they go there, and she says that they have a line around the corner, people waiting to get this food. And what they do not have is fresh fruit. That is something that doesn't come, because a lot of the food that is given away is day-old bread from Publix. A lot of major grocery stores will donate, and that's what feeds a lot of these pantries. But fruit, as we know, rots, and so it's difficult to get fruits and vegetables. And so hopefully we can help fill that gap and start getting healthier food. So we are planning on just staying locally at first, but hopefully if we have the more people that join the Fruit Nut Exchange, we have also partnered with Second Harvest at the Big Bend. And so any fruit that is left in the refrigerator at the end of the day Sunday, we're going to deliver it to Second Harvest of the Big Bend, which they will keep it there. They have refrigeration systems. And Second Harvest of the Big Bend actually function is a distribution site. They actually distribute food to food pantries. So that'll be our second step. Step one is we're going to go to pantries directly, and then whatever's left over, it's going to be distributed by Second Harvest.
But as you grow, I would suspect that you would need some additional volunteer help here. Huh?
Yes, and this is one of the wonderful things about the Fruit and Nut Exchange is so much of it is online. And what I mean about online is, so when you go online and you fill out a form, it will ask you what type of trees you have. We have several listed. You click your tree. There's actually an algorithm behind each one of those. And so if you pick that you have a Meyer lemon, it automatically knows the season that Meyer lemons are in harvest. We also ask you what month does it. So there's two checks. So that so let's say I'll just use my example, Tabitha Fraser. I registered a Meyer lemon, and also registered a kumquat. Those are two things that are in bloom. They're going off in my yard now. So I picked that if I had picked that I wanted someone to help me glean. So those come. So I also have a fig tree. So the fig tree is going to be in July. What's going to happen is July 1st, the Fruit and Nut Exchange will go to our computer, and we will have, this month you have 18 different households that have fig trees, and they need you to help glean them. So people can sign up per date. We will know months in advance. So we have volunteers, and it says click here to volunteer. There will be a calendar up, and you will see the pre-dates, because we will know which days that we need people based on how many people have registered. So that was, to me, one of the most important things, was making this easy to keep track of volunteers, and also to know what dates we have. And something else that is great about the volunteers is when you sign up to volunteer, anyone can do it. And we are keeping track of everyone's volunteer hours. So we have back forms. So if you volunteer, let's say you're a high school student and you're trying to do this for high school credit hours, you can register with the Fruit and Nut Exchange. We'll have your information. And then you can call up at any time and ask for a spreadsheet of your volunteer hours. This Leon County School Board can call up and just say, please give us a list of all the volunteers who have volunteered hours with the school board. And we can just do the spreadsheet and give it to the school board. But one of the volunteer groups that I really hope that we get a lot of people from is actually from public housing. A lot of people don't know that in January of 2015, under the Obama administration, HUD, the Federal Housing Department, actually passed a memorandum. And anyone over the age of 18 that lives in public housing is required to do 10 hours a month of public community service. So anyway, this is when I talked to Maisha, she said that this was one of the top reasons that people were evicted last year. Now, there's a wait list of people in need that need help for housing. So when it came down for them to look about who's going to go and who can be let in, it was the first year that they actually used that standard. So this is why I'm grateful to be working with social workers like Maisha and moving forward, so we can make sure that these people, this is my target audience. This is exactly people that need food. And so if they can come and glean two afternoons, they can take the food home with them and meet their required hours. It's win-win for everybody.
And there's a real buy-in. Yeah. In that too, so you feel more connected to the program, because it's like I harvested this myself.
Yes, yes, that's what we hope, and that's getting healthy food to lower income areas is really what a lot of this is about, and moving food forward. That's the slogan of the Fruit and Nut Exchange. So people like me that have fruit in our yard, you can pick it yourself, or we'll have a volunteer and you can give it away to people that are in need.
Well, as we look forward, you can also look backward, because I noticed on a recent visit to Railroad Square, there was a group of millennials that had rediscovered canning.
Yes.
And now that is becoming cool again. I remember my grandmother doing it. She would turn the basement of her house into, it looked like a food processing center. It was like, I don't know, Hunt's tomato sauce or something. She had all of these fruits and vegetables lined up, and she would can them for the winter. And we ate like royalty.
No doubt. You know, this is one of the reasons why it's wonderful that we've partnered with the Frenchtown Heritage Hub. They recently, if you're unfamiliar with it or you haven't checked it, I encourage everyone to go down to the farmer's market. It's every Saturday. And also tour the Frenchtown Heritage Hub. They just got a large grant, and they're going to be building a working kitchen. It's called Kitchen Share, and it's exactly for that. The idea is to encourage people to help build cottage industries. So let's say someone were to come in there with a bunch of fruit. Let's say they had free fruit that they got from the Fruit and Nut Exchange. They could then check out the kitchen and rent it for a nominal fee. It's nonprofit. And use sterilized equipment. Everything would be there and do their canning. And then on Saturday, they can sell it right there at the Frenchtown Farmers Market. So it's same thing with pecan pies, anything. Chef Shack is going to be involved. I heard that she's going to be cooking classes there. So it really is a community heritage hub for a lot of people concerned with food needs. And I encourage everyone that's listening to check it out at some time.
Tabitha Fraser, who is the supervisor for District 3 of Leon Soil and Water Conservation, is with us here on Perspectives, talking about trees. The Leon Fruit and Nut Exchange, if you're just joining us, is a new initiative. If you have a fruit or a nut tree on your property, you can for free go online, register it, and then you get some help with harvesting if that is required, or they will help you to become the harvester, the gleaner, if you will, and to stockpile the produce from that tree so it does not go to waste. Because particularly sugary fruits, if they stay on the ground for any length of time, they start to ferment, and the poor little birds come down and they partake and they get totally trashed and they fly into trees and break their necks, and it's a terrible thing. So we don't want that to happen either. It's a conservation movement here, guys. 414-1234, the number for Perspectives, 800-926-8809, perspectives@wfsu.org. Let us go momentarily into a little bit of history, if we could, Tabitha.
Yeah.
And what that initiative means as far as our iconic trees are concerned here.
Yeah, the trees, that's really where my heart is. And so Leon Trees is an organization, and you can look it up, leontrees.org, and is specifically concentrating with the trees here in Leon County in an effort to connect the history of our community to our landscape. As you mentioned before, we are really known for our trees. This is what people, when they come to Tallahassee, it's a forested city. When you fly in, the first building you see is the Capitol building sticking out of trees, and it's something that we value here. But Leon Trees, the goal of it is, we're rapidly growing. We're developing. And so the effort is, where are the trees that we care about as a community, and why do we care about them? So with Leon Trees, we specialize, our slogan is explore our sense of place, because that's what it is here in Leon County. And we specialize in planting, preserving, celebrating, and educating people about the canopy here in Leon County. And so in our preserve, if you go into preserve, this is where we talk about historic trees. Anyone can submit a tree. So if you go to the website, we write about what a historic tree is, what are the parameters. But if you know of a tree that has a significant story associated with it, was something historic happened there? Did someone famous plant it? A tree that you and I were talking about earlier, Tom, is the tree in Cascades Park. It's been called the Market Oak, and also been, other people call it the Hanging Oak. It was outside of the old courthouse, Leon County Jail, the Firestone Building. And I truly believe it is the oldest oak tree in all of downtown Tallahassee. And so what Leon Trees does is we find out the history of that tree. We get archival photographs. And you can go to our website, and we have the tree actually marked on a map, longitude, latitude. And you can click the ping, and up will give you a little biography about the tree. Any old photographs that we have, In addition to that, not just historic trees, we keep track of exceptional specimen trees. And what an exceptional specimen is actually a word that is written about in both our city and county ordinances. And so we are in line with that. And the definition of exceptional specimen tree, there gives some technical definitions, but it also goes into a tree that has historical, meaningful value and does give us a sense of place. And there are many trees around Leon County. So we are encouraging people, if there is a tree that you love that just makes you feel good, that anytime you drive by it, please register that tree. And when the definition was written, it was written that way on purpose because let's say there's a Japanese maple, not native to this area, but a lot of people plant them. What happens if every November the Johansson's Japanese maple is the most gorgeous tree on your street, and every neighbor that drives down that street admires their tree? We hope that someone in that neighborhood would acknowledge that tree and register that tree as exceptional. Take a photograph of it. We'll get a measurement and write, why is this exceptional to this community? This helps our city planners. It helps people to move forward so that we can make sure that we keep the character of our community. So that's a lot of what we do. And we have board members, and I encourage anyone, anything that you hear, please check out the websites, contact me if you're interested in participating in either of these organizations.
I keep reverting to something that you and I talked about before we went on the air. It's based on the idea, if these trees could talk, and using our trees maybe even to teach history, since we know that is one of the sad deficiencies right now in education, because mm-hmm. it hasn't been part of standardized testing, is how do we connect to our sense of place through history? And instead of having teachers do it, let's have our trees do it instead.
Yes, yes.
Let's go to the phones. Samadhi is waiting on line one as she kicks off our telephone interface here on Perspectives. Hey, Samadhi, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I have just a few questions, actually. I didn't catch the whole show, but I was so interested to hear about the fruit trees. I heard the part that said two things, that I'm not sure if you guys have a part as part of the organization, the option to buy fruit trees or get them at a reduced rate if you're interested in participating.
What are the options there, particularly, Tabitha, since this helps our biodiversity as well? We have lots of old live oaks. We have lots of pine trees. But do we have a deficiency of fruit trees, and maybe people should plant some more? And Samadhi brings up that there may be some additional resources to help people do that.
First, to answer a question directly, we do not sell any fruit trees. It's really just a nonprofit program that's gleaning, moving the food forward. But there are wonderful area nurseries that have fruit trees. But one thing that people need to know is when you plant a fruit tree, it usually takes a year and a half to 2 years before it even produces fruit. And a lot of people that plant fruit trees, I've come to learn, it's almost an ornamental hobby. This is something that people, it's a tree that you look at, you're going to want to see, did it harvest well this year compared to last year? If it didn't, then you want to get your soil tested. It's a managed tree. Fruit trees are managed. It's if you let them just go, they're not going to be producers. Definitely takes a human interaction with fruit trees.
A little bit labor intensive there. And as you said, the folks at IFAS can really help in
yes.
that regard to make sure that you do have the proper soil and is there good drainage and the very persnickety kinds of requirements that some fruit and nut trees have. They can help you do that. But I know the city and county has also had some tree provision programs, and maybe that's something for the future. I don't know.
Yeah. When it comes, they usually don't give away, the county does do right now, actually. I am encouraging people, now it is the open window to get a free tree from the county. You can go to the county or you can go to the Leon Trees website. And if you get under planting, we have a direct link to the application. But if anyone wants a free tree from the city or the county, now is the time you fill out an application. Anyway, and they're giving out Eastern red cedars this year. But I have not. They usually stick with a tree that is a native and try to bring back populations like the Eastern red cedar that are in decline. But not so much fruit trees. But I encourage people. Like I said, there's wonderful area nurseries. And in Crawfordville particular, it's called Just Fruits and Exotics. And They are wonderful, and I hope that they will be partnering with the Fruit and Nut Exchange because they have incredible blogs that tell you about fruit tree care and different fertilizers, and they've been a wonderful source for me as I've been moving forward to building this.
And these are trees that actually have some utility to them. All trees are beautiful, and we like to look at them and bask in their shade during the hot weather. But to have a tree that actually gives back to you in the form of, there's a little peach tree in front of our house, and usually you think in terms of Georgia. And I don't know where my wife got that, but she planted it several years ago in the front yard, and every other year,
it blooms.
It blooms and provides these wonderful little peaches. They're much smaller than the type that you would find at a commercial supermarket. I'm not sure what variety it is, but they're really good.
I wonder if it's a stone peach. There are several hybrids that are available. You'd be surprised what you can grow here in North Florida. Every now and then, cultivars will release a certain breed that is able to withstand temperature drops or the lack of temperature drops. Like apple is a tree that we don't see them here because it requires a hard freeze to have successful apple growing. Same thing, you don't see too many, only certain citrus varieties are located up here because they have to avoid a freeze. But
we also have a various variety of palm trees that are producers, date palms.
Yes.
Which are really, really yummy.
We have on the website, it's interesting because people have asked me, they have mentioned these other hybrid trees. And so we have probably a dozen trees, the most common trees listed, but there is an other category. So if you have a tree that isn't listed, please check the other box and list what tree it is in the month that it isn't. And we are always able to update our website. And so I started thinking, well, if we have four people that have key limes or something that may not, then I know that to make that a checkbox. This is something else that we're going to have on a regular basis up here in Leon County.
So this is actually a tree survey sort of that you're doing at the same time.
Yeah, and actually another Leon Trees?
Yeah, okay. And well, let's finish that thought right after the upcoming break. Tabitha Fraser, Leon Soil and Water Conservation Supervisor for District 3, is with us here on Perspectives, talking about the new Leon Fruit and Nut Exchange and also a program to allow the trees to teach us history right before our very eyes and ears. More and your calls and conversation, too, on Perspectives. Back on Perspectives, talking trees with Tabitha Fraser from the Leon Soil and Water Conservation District. And you were saying off air here as we were going to break, Tabitha, you had a historic connection between trees and essentially the nominal founder of Leon County.
Yes. Ponce de Leon was the first person to bring an orchard to the state of Florida in St. Augustine. And so I thought it was wonderful to fortuitous that we're Leon County. It's called the Leon Fruit and Nut Exchange. It's kind of a little nod to Ponce de Leon and bringing fruit to Florida.
And we don't even know if Ponce de Leon perhaps planted any trees wintering in Florida, thinking in this part of Florida during, 1639, I mm-hmm. think, 1640, mm-hmm. If maybe there were any trees planted by Ponce de Leon, hoping that, well, maybe in the spring something will happen and there could be, when we come back this way, by then they'll be growing and producing, and who knows?
Yes. And one of the things that Leon, the Fruit and Nut Exchange does, when you mentioned earlier, we actually keep track of everyone's fruit trees. So every fruit tree that is added to the registry, we have a map, and you can ping the map and see. So at any time, you can say, well, how many people have joined the registry and have satsumas? And you can see how many satsumas. You can see how many different types. And you can click on it, and it will tell you what the yield was from that tree. And this is something else that helps consumers. We actually have a file that is not a public view. We don't know that people will not be able to see who the homeowner is, what their exact address is. But every year, we're going to keep track of how much fruit is actually donated. And so if there's an anomaly year, let's say that some family is able to donate, 40 pounds of satsumas, and the next 2 years they have a really low yield, then this allows us to have a conversation and say, something's happening with your tree. You might have a fungicide. Something's going on. Let's take a look at it. And it also helps us to keep track of which neighborhoods are participating, which neighborhoods are helping move food forward, and we envision, you know, recognizing these neighborhoods. It's a sense of community. It's another positive statistic. So when someone clicks on Frenchtown, they can see that there's 22 households in Frenchtown that are moving food forward, and they've donated X amount to help ameliorate food needs. It's just another positive aspect of Tallahassee.
You talk about the variability when it comes to production from fruit and nut trees, and there was an recent article about the preponderance of acorn production this year that seemed to be just unusually high.
Yes, I read that article too. It was interesting that it happens every 6 to 8 years, that and it's all over this, I think the entire Southeast, because I went to New Orleans this past weekend and I noted how many acorns. And it's interesting that nature works that way. No one knows why, but what is it in the atmosphere? What is happening that every oak tree, you know, across the Southeast seems to be speaking the same language and deciding that this is the year that we're going to drop, you know, all these acorns? Acorns drop every year, but an incredible amount this year.
Yeah, because I saw a grossly obese squirrel in my front yard the other day who was picked off by a red-tailed hawk,
wow,
which I had never seen in our neighborhood before. So
exciting.
Yeah, nature is working its balance here. We got some email here, and one listener wanted some information on getting soil tested with IFAS. Also wanted to know, what does IFAS stand for? And how do you contact IFAS, by a website, phone, whatever? Tabitha?
Yes. IFAS actually stands for the Institute of Food and Agricultural Science. And there's an office here, and it's over by the fairgrounds. So you can probably Google IFAS Leon County. I'm sure it's in the telephone book. But they offer a variety of services. Actually, it's associated with the University of Florida. You might see them in all rural counties, you'll see an IFAS office. There was something similar to soil and water conservation. It was started at the same exact time. All land-grant colleges, and the University of Florida is considered a land-grant college. It was given by the federal government. A huge part of land was given. And land-grant colleges are supposed to work in agriculture. And University of Florida does. They are huge in green agricultural technologies. They do a lot with fertilizers, a lot of sod. If you go down to UF, there's a lot of that coming out of there. And they have IFAS extension offices, which deal with agriculture. And we're fortunate to have one right here in Leon County that you can get your soil tested. You can get gardening needs. So I encourage you to go to their website and also stop by and visit. They have open houses twice a year, but it is like the experimental station of Leon County. And what I mean by that is they're off the grid. They're solar. They're the first organization. They put in cisterns to where they actually collect their water. And they do this and keep track of this data. So in an effort, they can then give this data to local governments and saying, okay, here's our 10-year record. We did cisterns. And it's actually a government building. It's owned by it's actually owned by the county, but they work with the University of Florida to do these different type of things. But IFAS is wonderful.
Yeah, and sometimes they're called the County Extension Office,
yes,
too.
Yes, County Extension Office. And Molly Jamison is specifically the young lady that deals with horticulture. And she's wonderful. I know she would love to hear from anyone and would be able to help you with these soil needs.
Yeah, and the cost is free, guys. So it's a wonderful service to avail yourself of. We have another emailer who wants information on KitchenShare and also wonders if there is a website to link them to that too.
Yes, you can go to the Frenchtown Heritage Hub and they will be able to give you information that. But for some reason, if you can't find it, you can also go to the Leon Fruit and Nut Exchange .org website, and we have a direct link. You will see it. It says Frenchtown Heritage Hub. It's on our front page, bottom left-hand corner. And if you just click that, it will hot link you straight to what's going on there.
And every Saturday, there is the farmer's market there.
Yes, and, yes. So. And check it out. There's wonderful. You said that you like canning. There's a lot of cottage industries there. So there's people canning, making pies. It's a lot of really neat stuff going on.
Yes, and a young gentleman of bad repute who will turn you on to honey from his apiary in his backyard, a fellow by the name of Rick Flagg. If you see him, please tell him I said hi. Okay. Back to the history thing again, Tabitha, because we were just kind of using that as a point of departure on how you envision this whole thing to be. Maybe even at some point having a comprehensive tree tour situation for Leon County through, I'm thinking through Visit Tallahassee and those guys down there were people who really want to find out what the inside scoop on what happened in the city of Tallahassee over the couple of centuries that it's been around, just going and letting the trees tell the tale.
We are working on stuff like that. This is exactly what Leon Trees is about, is connecting the history of our community. So currently, there is a trail that's being worked on in Frenchtown with the Frenchtown Heritage Hub. They have gotten together and they're creating a walking trail for exercise. So every week, and they're going to have, so I talked with Shelley Gomez and I'm going to walk it. And every tree that is significant, we're going to measure, tag, and try to find out the history behind it. And a perfect example is Tom and the commercial break. You were telling me about your home and when you originally bought that property, there was a huge oak tree and you found old beer cans and liquor bottles and it was a juke joint that was back there way back in the country. Those are the interesting stories. And a similar tree someone submitted, and it's on Van Buren Street, and we actually call it the Van Buren Oak. And so when they just recently did the wonderful extension of FAMU Way and Cascades Park, they build a holding pond. There's a giant oak tree that is still there. Well, someone submitted the history, and they called it the Van Buren Oak. And there used to be a juke joint that was there. And Chubby Checker actually played at the juke joint. And it is supposedly where he wrote The Peppermint Twist. And there was also a historic hotel that was located there that Martin Luther King Jr. stayed at on a visit in Tallahassee. And people told us these stories. And so we have a photograph of the tree. We're an all-volunteer your organization. So it takes, we now just need a volunteer. It's mainly me now, but to go down to the historical archives, verify this story, find out, get a picture, if we can find a photograph of this old juke joint, any newspaper archive. And the way Leon Trees works is you can go down to Van Buren Street and there'll be a little dot on the map next to that oak tree. You can click that dot and up will come a current photo of the oak tree. And then there'll be a narration that will have any historical photograph that we have. We'll have a link to where you can listen to Peppermint Twist by Chubby Checker. So these are the type of things. It's connecting the history of our community to the land. And we do hope to have tours. A tour that we're kind of working on that we hope to have by the end of this year is I was fortunate enough to meet a wonderful woman named Sandra Kelly, and she's a professional storyteller. And she loves trees and loves natural things. And she got together with me and said, I would love to develop out a storytelling about what you're doing with Leon Trees. So what we're working on is there was a book written back in the late 90s called The Live Oak Trail. And it takes place all here in Leon County. It's the history of basically taking care of trees here in Leon County. And the way the book was written by a woman named Carolyn, and her great aunt had been a member of the Tallahassee Garden Club throughout the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. And when her aunt died in the 70s, she found scrapbooks filled with stories about women back in the 1930s doing stuff like chaining themselves to trees or telling their husbands. I mean, incredible stories. And so this was a woman that said, one day I'm going to write a book about what my aunt did. And she did. And came out in 1907. It was called The Live Oak Trail. And it was named the Live Oak Trail because her aunt had actually done a walking trail where people would take wagons and you would go on a tour to different plantations, somewhere in Jefferson County, somewhere a lot were here in Leon County, just to look at the trees. So it was different alleyways, wonderful, gorgeous things. Well, we are looking to rebuild the Live Oak Trail. So we know where all the stops were. And so we are going to see what trees are still there, what historical information. And we hope that we're going to rent the trolley, the Tallahassee trolley, and sell tickets and have people come on. And Sandra will be on board narrating these wonderful stories that she has read about. And you'll be learning the history. And it'll be a way to help sustain Leon Trees, because we're all volunteer. It's just anyone. And so I'm encouraging people, if you like what you're hearing and this is how you like to spend your energy, please go to the website, contact me. I'd love to have your help.
What is new is old again, and I keep hearing your phone blowing up in the background, so I think you're probably getting some connection there on that, Tabitha. But nothing is forever, and even our wonderful trees that can last hundreds and hundreds of years without proper care and maintenance, they can meet an untimely end during Hurricane Hermine or to disease or insect infestation or any other number of things. What, if anything, can be done to promote greater conservation of our existing trees, both on the private and the public angle? Because let's face it, taking care of trees and bringing in professionals, that is expensive.
It is incredibly expensive. And so it is best to always kind of keep up with your trees, to really learn about trees. If you plant a tree from the beginning, if you prune it in the first few years and train it, you really don't have to prune it that much as it grows. If you so it's the first few years that you make sure, and always get rid of dead branches. Keep track of what's happening with your tree. And so a well-maintained tree is a tree that is healthy, that can remain healthy. And it is difficult to predict. You can't 100% sure if a tree is going to come down or not. I mean, we had a tree come down on my house during Hurricane Hermine, and we're still dealing with it. And it was a completely gorgeous, healthy pine tree. And so it was just, you know, a huge gust of wind. I think there were some microbursts that came through my neighborhood. But there are other trees that I look at, and I love trees, that I look at it and I'm like, that is going to fall on traffic any day. And so the conversation needs to happen. And so this is what Leon Trees is trying to figure out. What trees do we care about in this community? Those are much more valuable. And if we care about them, those are the ones that we should have priority on. We need to have a county forester that works with people. If someone has an exceptional specimen tree on their property, and it's meaning that other people besides them value that tree, I would like that person to have access for free to a county and city forester to tell them how to maintain the tree. I would like them to be able to have assistance when pruning and keeping up with that tree, because that tree is beautiful to all of us, not just to them. So the fact that they're being good stewards of a tree that we all value, I think should be some sort of incentive for homeowners like that.
And as that discussion continues, your participation in the county's Canopy Road Citizen Advisory Committee. You know, going back last year, we had a long talk about, gee, should that organization continue? And what is the trade-off that you have between making sure that you have proper traffic access to along those canopy roads, but how do you keep as many trees, healthy trees, as you possibly can along those thoroughfares?
Well, yeah, I agree. And I think having a county forester dedicated solely to exceptional specimen trees and our canopy roads is much needed. I am no longer on the Canopy Tree Roads Board. After all the controversy, they did a clean slate. And as of last summer, it was all new members. And so they are all picked by county commissioners. So, but I hear good things that they are qualified people. And I know that it's a citizen advisory, and anyone that would be on it is definitely good, because they're spending time out of their own time. They don't get paid for being on the board. So, but again, we still have not hired a county forester, and that's huge to be able to have someone that specific knows about trees and someone who's actually a conservation forester. Because what we have now is all of our tree, and I will use the example of the downtown library tree. It was a gorgeous tree at the public library. So what we do now is we contract out to private arborists and private companies. There is no benefit in preserving a tree. So let's say we call up, I'll just say Acme Arborist. So we call them up. They're going to come, assess the tree, and this is what our local government does. The city of Tallahassee say, is that tree healthy? If the person says, yes, it's perfectly healthy, they don't make a dime. They walk away. What incentive is that? So often I see trees that I'm questionable whether it really should have come down or if it could have been managed. And so I would love for the city and county to hire someone who's on salary that is not going to be worrying about paying a mortgage or something, or paying their employees if this tree doesn't come down. And we all know how expensive it is, thousands of dollars to take out a tree at that, you know, that is that huge. And we contract out all of it. So it's really important to hire someone and have them accountable to our taxpayers, to our citizens that are paying their salary.
To the phones we go. Let's see if we can get in Mitch here, who has a quick question here on Perspectives. Hi, Mitch.
Yeah, longer than if anybody's seen the tree that's on the truck route a block south of Crawfordville Highway. It's in a vacant field. The tree's all by itself. It resembles a bonsai plant, but it's a tree, 30 foot tall.
Huh.
I wonder what kind. I'll have to...
No, y'all haven't seen it?
Well, maybe. I mean, it's a big county. You just told me it's on Capitol Circle, south of Crawfordville, in a field.
Yeah, let's see. South of the truck route, in a field.
It's on the truck route, south of Crawfordville Highway, and it's like you can't miss it. Everybody goes by, has to see it.
Well, Mitch,
I've never seen another one like it.
You know what? I would love, this is exactly what Leon Trees is about. And you just told me where it was, but at all, you could submit this tree. You can go to leontrees.org and it says submit an exceptional specimen tree. And I'll ask you right there what the address is and we'll send someone out there to measure it.
Thank you, Mitch. Appreciate that. And we appreciate you being on Perspectives today, Tabitha Frazier, and letting us know about the Leon Fruit and Nut Exchange and our tree initiatives and everything. I feel much leafier than I did before.
Thank you, Tom.
Hey, thank you, folks, for tuning into Perspectives, which is produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee, Taylor Cox and Lido Rawls on the technical end today. And I'm Tom Flanagan. You know, sometimes the best way to preserve and conserve our natural environment is to burn it. The Tall Timbers Red Hills Fire Festival upcoming. We'll get some insights on that next week on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.